I'm a little upset this morning. I'm kind of off right now. Everybody, this is a national holiday, of course, in the Ozarks. It's the opening day of gun season yesterday. And yes, I know, right? Amen? I know, we're all crazy about that. And I'm not so crazy about it right now. Now, being in the Ozarks, I put this on Facebook like a while ago. Being in the Ozarks is something y'all put in the water. I done drank the Kool-Aid, and now, I'm a black neck, you know. I don't know what's the black equivalent to a redneck, but I'm that guy. I mean, you know, I got really excited about crappie fishing on Thursday and literally ate every single bit of that crappie, no more. And now I'm all into hunting so much that I convinced my grandpa, I'm like, yo, come on down, let's get a deer. Super excited. I drove up on Friday, picked that bad boy up, you know, and we were sitting all in the blind yesterday. And let me show you the picture of our deer. Look at that. Now, you're probably thinking right now, like, what are they doing in the sound booth? They messed up. No, that's the picture of the deer I got, because I ain't got no daggum deer yesterday. And then, you know, and then I'm coming up, and Brent Good is like, man, well, let me tell you about the deer. I got three deer before I even got in the stand. You know? If I see another picture of somebody's deer, I have a 1-800 number to God. I am going to pray that you at least spend an hour in hell before you go into heaven, all right? Promise you, man. No deer, but I'm going to try again on Sunday, tonight, and Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday. My sermon may be terrible on Sunday because I'm going to be, well, okay, sorry, never mind. Let me talk about that. Well, I was getting ready to do, I had a sermon and I was lining it up. I mean, I was putting the finishing touches on my sermon. And then I'm in the boat with Dennis and we start talking about Veterans Day coming up. And I felt the Holy Spirit goes, finally, I gotcha. I'm like, God, I wish you would have gave it to me, well before Thursday night. But just really thinking, and I just start thinking about, you know, veterans. You know, my father's a veteran. My great-grandfather, he was a veteran as well. And one of my best friends, you know, he's my age. He's 32 years old, and he's already spent over 15 years, you know. Well, not 15 years. I mean, 10 plus. Well, what is that? I mean, 8 from 18 to whatever. That's about 15 years. Close. Anyway, already, and so I'm just talking to him, and it's really cool to hear a veteran, you know, that's your age, and I'm just talking to him, and I'm like, bro, man, I would just really appreciate you. And he goes, Richard, like, for real, you have no idea, like, how much I appreciate when folks come up to a veteran and say, Happy Veterans Day. As he said, it's not the most glamorous life. He goes, it's difficult being in there, I think he's going to get ready to go on his sixth tour, you know, coming in January. And he goes, it feels good to be honored. And what we're going to do this Sunday, we want to honor our veterans that's in here right now. Veterans, I can't imagine what you sacrificed, what your family sacrificed, what you've done for us, for our freedoms, that so much that we take for granted. Every day I wake up And I don't really think on the freedoms that I get to have. I just wake up expecting them. I don't wake up thanking God for them. But I should. Veterans Day reminds us. This sermon series, 10,000 Reasons, is all about, you know, just having a heart full of thankfulness. And so specifically veterans, if you all could stand here right now. And if you're a veteran, will you mind rising to your feet? And now, new beginnings, let's rise to our feet and applaud these veterans. New beginnings, can we stand and can we give them a standing ovation, please? New beginnings, thank you. Thank you all so much for what you do. Thank you. Veterans, you are incredible. In fact, Heidi and I, we were at, I think we were in Sight and Sound, and I was talking. I'm a big history buff, and I love World War II. I love World War II history. I love World War II movies, World War II articles, blogs. I mean, World War II vets, to me, I don't get starstruck. And it don't matter if I see a big celebrity or famous athlete or whatever. I'm like, oh, man, that's cool. I see him. But when I see a World War II vet, I literally stop everything that I do. Man, that's the greatest generation. And I would go and I shoot, you know, for a story if they can give me one. But Heidi and I, we were Sight and Sound. And I saw, you know, several vets that day. But I saw that World War II vet. He's an older gentleman, and it don't matter what I was doing, I just went right in the middle of what he was doing, and I'm like, you're a World War II vet. Oh, my goodness, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. Like, I really appreciate you. And this is why they're the greatest generation. This man grabbed me by my face, you know, in front of everybody, grabbed me by my face, and he goes, I did it for you. Grandpa, you know, how do you remember that? Oh, it was beautiful, beautiful. So thank you, veterans, for everything. You are incredible men and women. Thank you. So here's a sermon for us. And here I have two flags. I have the American flag and I have the Christian flag. And yeah, let me put this one over here. There we go. Now, these flags are inanimate objects, meaning they're lifeless, they're soulless, they're just objects. What makes these flags so special is about what they represent. You know, I mean, what is, without the meaning or without the nation representing this flag, this American flag, all it is a piece of well-decorated cloth. The same exact thing for this Christian flag. And so, but again, it's a deeper meaning behind these things, behind these flags. So we're going to dive into a few of these meanings behind the flag. Now, it's all about just a soldier. Both flags represent the soldier. You know, it's the soldier that makes these flags that special. And that's biblical. And so if we go to 2 Timothy, it says this. 2 Timothy says, share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. So today, Christians, today, men and women, we are going to learn of what it takes to be a good soldier. And a good soldier of Jesus Christ, it doesn't get entangled in civilian pursuits since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. And so let's look at the definition of entangled. Entangled, according to Webster, it says involved in difficulties or complicated circumstances for which it is difficult to escape. So no good soldier gets entangled, all right? You're not wrapped up in a complicated circumstances that is difficult to escape. A good soldier doesn't get entangled. A good soldier doesn't get entrapped. A good soldier doesn't get captured by the craziness of this world, all right? Now, let's look at civilian pursuits. There's a Greek word. Yeah, I'm going to have to do like some theme music or something like that when every time I introduce a Greek word. I do it like crazy. But this, I love the Greek word bios or bios. It means the present state of existence. So let's go back to 2 Timothy real quick, okay? Now, we're going to break this verse down. Y'all with me? All right. So a good soldier doesn't get entrapped by the circumstances that's going on right now in civilian pursuits, your current existence. And so a good soldier doesn't get entrapped about what's going on into your life in your present existence, your present. Because if you're a saint, you know your citizenship isn't in here. And so we need to set, the scripture says we need to set our mind of the things that are above. You know, we are aliens only visiting here. And so, which means that we need to be extremely careful of what we sacrifice our time, our energy, our being into. I experienced this like crazy before I went on that little trip, you know, to catch this salmon, because I was getting entangled. I was getting involved with so much of the things that's going on in this world, and I wasn't providing scripture, you know, in the midst of those situations, and it broke me down. I mean, it was just that more difficult, and that more difficult, and that more difficult. And God goes, Richard, civilian pursuits, chill, relax, dive into the word, and everything that you're responding to, everything that you're experiencing, you lace it with the word of God. Set your mind for the things above. And so, Christians, something for you to think about and chew on, as my buddy Cohen said, to mull over, you all need to think, what are things that you are willingly going to, that you're being entrapped by? God wants us to experience freedom. And so this is what, so we're going to go to a few things that require, that's required from us to be good soldiers. Y'all ready to dive into this? Y'all good? All right then. Now first, I know it's first service. I know it's 9:30, you know, 10 o'clock sometimes. It takes a little bit to get the dust off, but come on, first service. I mean, you all are the foundation for the rest of the day. Let's go ahead and do this, all right? Here we go. It don't matter if you don't get excited. I'm going to do it anyway. I have enough excitement for all of us. And so, very first thing that that's required of a good soldier, we have to be zealously recruit. We have to zealously recruit. Now, just like this flag, thank God that how strong our military, you know, is in the United States of America. I mean, it just shows strength. In fact, we have an identity of the United States of America of being a military superpower. And I think it's incredible that the military superpower of the United States of America is made up of volunteers. We no longer have a draft, but we have the greatest, you know, military superpower in the entire world, full of folks that willingly sign up to do so. That is incredible. Now, with this flag, the Christian flag, every single person in here, you volunteer to sign, you sign on the dotted line to follow Jesus Christ. Now, and you all know this, Jesus Christ, he could immediately snap his fingers and all of us can immediately obey him, immediately follow him, you know, and do, I mean, just be perfect. But God said, if you love me, then keep my commandments. If you love me, show me. If you love me, then make a decision to do so. Joshua 24:15 says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, I love this verse, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites, little g gods, notice that, in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, I hear all of the time with just many people, just at New Beginnings alone, telling me how difficult it is to be a Christian in your workplace. Shoot, I'm a pastor, and it's difficult for me to be a Christian in my workplace, you know? But I can understand how difficult that it is. You know what? I can't fully understand. I can't fully understand, but I know what it looks like to be a Christian in the midst of, you know, unrighteous people. But it's your choice. Even though it's difficult, and it's okay to even acknowledge that difficulty, and it's okay to acknowledge that difficulty to somebody else and wanting encouragement, you know, wanting different things that you can do to be godly in that situation. That's okay to do that. But you have to make the decision, no matter where I go, no matter who I encounter, no matter what I experience, I am going to serve God in this area, no matter what. I'm not going to be entangled in the civilian pursuits. This is me. This is who I am. I represent God, and nothing comes before that. That is what a good soldier does. Are y'all with me? And so I'm here to encourage you. Okay, even though it's difficult, and I'm sorry that it's difficult, but God placed you there for a reason. In fact, who is that? Is that you, Tim? Tim, can you turn off the lights in here? You see those lights? Bear with me. All right, yep, turn off the lights on that. Okay? Y'all see this? Yep, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Turn them off all of them. There you go. You see this? Now let's dim the lights in the front. You see this right here? This is probably your workplace. I'm just realizing I'm a black dude. I know it's probably tough to see me right now. Let me come on over here real quick, all right? There we go. All right. You know? I mean, come on, man. Y'all know. But let me go and keep it going. Imagine this is your workplace, okay? What made this place dark not too long ago? Somebody tell me. Say it out loud. You turned off the light. That's what darkness is. The darkness is absence of light. The reason why your workplace may be so dark is because that's not light there. But guess who you are? You can turn on the lights. You are the light. And so if an area is so dark, you are responsible of bringing that light to illuminate your workplace, to illuminate your families, to illuminate wherever you go. That's how special you are. You carry the light that illuminates darkness. You're a good soldier. So instead of isolating ourselves from darkness, how about we go and illuminate an area? Amen? Y'all with me? You're the light. Also, in 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says that we are ambassadors. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. An ambassador is the spokesperson that represents the country or the person or the policy or whatever. I mean, it represents whatever. And so, I mean, if you go to China and if you're an American ambassador in China, you represent all of America. And so if somebody attacks you, if somebody attacks the U.S. ambassador, they attack whatever the most important person in the United States of America. We are Christ's ambassador. We represent the author of the universe. We speak on his behalf. And what's so beautiful about it, God handpicked us to do that. To be that. Good soldiers. We don't get entangled these things. We represent Jesus Christ. We are an ambassadors. And we have to recruit. We have to recruit. I remember whenever I was at SBU and I was sitting down and you had a recruiter come into the cafeteria. And, you know, I told them I was in JROTC and, you know, I got family members that were, you know, in the service. And I told them, like, man, you know, I think, you know, it's kind of cool. It's something that I necessarily never ruled out. Now, in my mind, I was ruling out of it. But he heard all of this stuff and he literally said this. He goes, man, let me get your class schedule. Okay. So I went to the computer lab, I printed off my class schedule, and I handed it to him, which was probably the most foolish mistake I've ever had in my entire life. Because that recruiter was there after my classes out of the doors. Because, you know, my class said, all right, you know, you got sociology in room 407 in the whatever building. And he was there, you know. And so I'm like, man, I don't want to do it. But he was there all the time. He made sure he had enough information for me, finding out where I was, what I did, and he was there showing up telling me how much I need to go to the Army. I love the passion, the zeal, the heart of that recruiter. It's exactly what we are called to do, Christians. We need to recruit people into God's army. Now, this is on their behalf. That's exactly what we need to do. Amen? We need to zealously recruit. Another thing that's required from us, it is, next slide, faith undoubtedly. Faith undoubtedly. In Matthew 6:25, it says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put, whatever you put on. It is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they are? Whenever a soldier, a veteran, a good soldier, they have faith that the U.S. is going to supply their need. They're going to have faith that they have job security. They're going to have safety. They're going to have health care. You know, whatever that this country said that they're going to provide for them, they have faith that the country is going to do. Bring that to fruition. They have faith that the country is going to do what they say they're going to do. Now, this is not, I'm not shooting at United States, but we know that that is false. You know, there are some things that some people, you know, from whatever party you may be a part of, will promise you something and then renege on that promise, you know. In the world, in whatever institution we have in the world today, there are going to be some ungodly people running that institution. And so when you have ungodly people a part of that institution, then that means ungodly people are going to do ungodly things. Sometimes we have godly people doing ungodly things. But regardless, a good soldier, they have faith in their country. We all should have faith in our country, but it shouldn't supersede of this flag right here of having faith in God. We should not worry. That's why we're talking about always have a heart full of thanksgiving. Later on in that scripture, it says that worry, being anxious doesn't add a single day to your life. It only hinders it. It only makes things more difficult. That's why having a heart full of thanksgiving of what you currently have, God will see that heart. He will see your outlook. He will see your grinding into loving him, following him, pursuing him, and he will bless you in those circumstances. Are y'all hearing me? Y'all following me where I'm going with that? Have faith that God got your back like Tim Jenny, a chiropractor. Okay? Y'all got me with that? Next thing what we have to do, we have to be completely committed. Now, this isn't, anybody ever seen like Double Dutch, you know? And so now Double Dutch, for those who don't know, is some people, you know, that go, they got like two ropes, not one, they got two, and they're double dutching. And I love how people start off with Double Dutch, you know, because they go like this, you know, they're like, okay, all right, I'm getting in. All right, then I'm in there. I'm double dutching. I'm in there. But so many times people treat the Christian walk like a double dutch. I'm going to go in. No, I'm not. Yeah, I am. Nope. It's not time. I remember Heidi and I, this was where we were crazy college students. We were betting on who can do the best running cartwheel. Believe it or not, right? And so Heidi, I'm sorry, I'm going to embarrass you. Even more so. And so Heidi was doing the cart, was getting ready to do the cartwheel, but she's doing it like this. She's like, all right, here we go. And I'm like, pull the trigger, you know, go do it. Come on, you know. And so it's like you have to be committed in doing so. Don't like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do this. You know, whenever you're in it for life. Committed men and women. Whenever you serve, whenever you're a soldier, and if you're not committed, those other soldiers are going to be on your head. You're going to have to be committed. This is who I am. This is who we are. And whether, you know, it's sunny skies or it's in the midst of the storm, I am there. I got your back. Like a chiropractor, all right? There is nothing more disheartening of living life with a brother or a sister that's supposed to be a Christian and very wishy-washy. Either you is or is you ain't, you know? Y'all with me? Philippians 3, 7 and through 8 says this, but whatever gain I had in this earth, whatever gain that I had, I counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. This world can provide nothing like how God can. The best riches of this world will fail into comparison to what God can do in your life. Count everything as rubbish, and you follow God and watch God work in your lives. We have to be committed in order to experience that. And so it reminds me of a story. So it's this guy, he's in an orchestra, okay? So this guy is in the orchestra, and not only he's in the orchestra, but he also was a member of a specific church. Well, the town was super small. This orchestra met inside of the church building. And so when the orchestra came, I mean, it was standing room only. I mean, completely filled the place, completely different of what it looks like on Wednesdays and Sundays. Wednesdays and Sundays, you can get barely anybody into this building, but when the orchestra came, it was packed. And so this guy, he was a part of the congregation and he was part of the orchestra. And so he's part of the orchestra, standing room only, and before, you know, he's going on stage to play, he's looking at everybody, you know, and then he sees his pastor. And this guy's a real jerk. Not the pastor, but the guy. And so he went up to his pastor and sarcastically says, when are you going to fill this building like, you know, like we do, like the orchestra does? And so the pastor looked around. He goes, how many people you got in your orchestra? He goes, 80. He goes, you give me about 80 men and women who listen to the conductor, faithful, committed. You give me 80 of those folks, just by my command, doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing, and I fill this place like in a heartbeat. Are you one of those committed people? You know, if we truly want to see Hollister, Forsyth, Branson, Omaha, Harrison, Blue Eye, you know, Reed Springs, Forsyth, Kimberlin City, wherever we may be, if we want to see these places change for the sake of Christ, we have the numbers. All we have to do is to be committed and be on the same page. You know, we already have the tools to be victorious. All we have to do is to be with each other. All we have to do is communicate the same thing. That's it. That's it. Did you know that we are prolonging our own blessings in this area? We're prolonging the, and we're like, Jesus, come. Jesus, come. He was like, I'm already here. I'm waiting on y'all fools to do something about it. You know? Y'all hear what I'm saying? I'm not calling you all fools. You know what I mean? I mean, y'all with me, okay? Well, maybe a couple of y'all. Oh, I'm having fun this morning. I'm sorry, y'all. I just have to say that. Last thing, that we need to be, we have to be sacrificial guardians. Definition of sacrificial says this, it says, designed to be used up or destroyed in fulfilling a purpose or a function. Jesus Christ was designed to be sacrificial. And what does the word tell us to do? To offer our bodies as living sacrifices. What am I here for? You're here to offer your body as a living sacrifice. You are designed to be destroyed in fulfilling a greater purpose or a greater function. That's what they do to soldiers. They train them and train them as best of their ability. And they give them, you know, and they teach them about courage and strength and laying down your life for your brother. And they do that. Oh, my goodness. I love hearing war stories about people who sacrifice their lives for the betterment of their brothers and sisters. For us, anytime you see a veteran, you shake their hands. You let them know how much you appreciate them, how much you love them, and you thank them for their service because that's them. They're sacrificial men and women. Thank you, veterans, for what you've done. Thank you. Christians. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. Definition of a guardian says this. It says a defender, a protector, or a keeper. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers. We are responsible for each other. Now, we can't go to heaven or hell for each other, but we are responsible for each other's well-being. That's what the church is supposed to look like. There is a formation. I'm about to have some fun right now. There's a formation that they did in Rome. It's called Testudo. So, okay, y'all, I'm crazy. I'm going to need some volunteers. And so, can I get four volunteers? So go ahead, hurry up, run, come up here, okay? Four volunteers. Anybody? Do you get a mic? Oh, my, no, but come up here anyway. Come on. Four volunteers, okay? All right, this is your shield. Here you go. Here you go. Yes, you have a shield. Now I'm about to hit you with some. All right, I know, right? Just say this is a big shield. So now I need y'all four to line up right here. One, two, three, four in the front row, okay? Now I need four more. Y'all line up close. Four more volunteers. Y'all, come on, come on up, come on up, come on up. Heidi, bring your pregnant self up here too. All right. Shield. Shield, welcome to the army. You have to pay me army dues, by the way. All right, shield. Shield. All right then. Now line up directly behind a person in front of you. All right? Y'all kind of get close, kind of get close, kind of get close. Soldiers, you got to get in close. Get in close. There we go. All right. Now I need four more volunteers. Four more. Come on. One. Not everybody at once. Two. If I say y'all had a $100 bill up there, everybody be mosh pitting the stage right now. All right. Three, four. All right, now y'all line up behind the ladies and gentlemen back here, okay? Let me move the box out of the way. Testudo formation does this. Now, whenever you are in battle and you notice, you know, or they had long-range weapons, you know, they had bow and arrows and everything like that, and they needed to pursue that wall, the people, they would get into testudo formation. And what testudo formation is, they, you know, the people, they held up, they hid behind their, what is it called? Their shields. And they got it as close as they possibly could to the other shield. Now, the other shield, it went all the way down. You know, it was a big old shield. But what the second row did, it was something incredible. What they did, they went up and they blocked it as such. So even if it, you know, if the arrows went all the way up and even coming down, it would come down on the shield. And what the third group did was the same thing. They hid underneath their shield and they covered up, you know, and they covered up their head and the people in front of them. Now, give me four more volunteers. Four more. Bam. One, two. Give me two more. All right. It's fun, ain't it? All right. Now, I need two on one side, two on the other. So even if people would now, that would come and y'all would block, you know, you have to, I mean, I could kill you right now. Okay, there you go. All right then. And so you see this? So there was this shield, so it was this barrier. And what I loved about that, whenever the most important person, the general or whatever, they will hide in the middle. I'm not going in the middle of that, but they will hide in the middle of that. They will protect them, and they will all be in unison. And so while they're all right here, they say, don't do this, y'all, because it's a step right there, and y'all fall, and it'll be a horrible example. But we say, step. And they will all step together, step, and they will step together. And so what you will see is this big, huge ball of shield, impenetrable force coming directly at you. And there's nothing that you can do to stop it. And the beautiful thing about that, so when people tried to come and run soldiers to break out this shield, they had their swords sticking out of these bad boys as well. And so you couldn't even try to melee everything out. get lost, punk, you know, and they keep going. This is exactly what the body of Christ should look like. Our strength is in our numbers, Christians. And so whenever you feel the arrows of Satan come to try to penetrate you, to try to divide you, to try to jack you up, you link together. You link together and you keep going head on, of course, directly towards the problem, because together you will overcome the problem. Do y'all understand what I'm saying, men and women? Testudo, we have to be linked all the way up. All right, y'all can go now, all right? Yeah, thank you so much for that. Here, can y'all can just put the bad boys right there. Appreciate y'all. Can we give it up for the awesome volunteers? We have to be sacrificial guardians. Not only are we willing to die for the person that stands beside of us, that's joining us in this fight, not only we're willing to do that, but we are their protector. We are their keeper. If a person in the front would just remove their shield, it would compromise the entire unit. One person in the back would just remove their shield, it would compromise the entire unit. It's all about being together. Amen? Last verse, John 15 says this. John 15, 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You veterans, that's exactly what you did. This is why we celebrate Veterans Day. They sacrificed their lives. Many people have given their lives. They did that so we can experience the freedoms that we have right now. God sees that and loves that. But do not think that you just, for the people who didn't serve in the armed forces, don't think that it's just limited to these incredible men and women, because everybody is supposed to do that. We are supposed to lay down our lives for our friends, spend our time, our energy, our efforts, our everything for our brothers and sisters. Why do we do that? We did it because that's exactly what Christ did for us. For those who don't know Jesus Christ in here today, he is madly in love with you, and that's exactly what he did. He laid down his life so he can be with you forever. That should blow your mind. Some of you are experiencing crazy amount of insecurities in your life, and you're thinking like, I'm not worthy. Do you have any idea what I've done? You have any idea what I've experienced? I could give you a million and a one reasons of why I don't deserve that. But it's not about what you think, what you should and should not deserve. God, your creator, is like, you know what? I want to be with them forever. They are so valuable. They are so precious. I desire to be with them forever. I'm going to lay down my life giving you an opportunity. Christians, we have to volunteer to do so. And whenever we volunteer to do so, we need to recruit. And whenever we recruit, y'all, we have to be completely committed. When we're completely committed, we need to be sacrificial guardians. Amen? Prayer team, if you can come up. Yeah, go ahead, come up, prayer team. Again, for the people who don't know Jesus in here, Jesus loves you so much that while you were yet sinners, while you deserved to be away from God forever, he died for you, and he's waiting for you to volunteer to come to him and say, okay, God, show me what it looks like. Forgive me of my sins. I'm here and I'm ready. And immediately you can become a soldier in the greatest army that ever existed, underneath the best general ever. That's the army of God. Amen. If you you don't know him. Everybody, if we can rise to our feet. If you don't know him today, come up. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about your person to your left and your right. You know, just come up, and we would love to introduce you to Jesus Christ. Don't waste time. Do it today.
I look to the hills. Where does my help come from?